Okay. Can we start, guys? Great. Are we on? Beautiful. Welcome, welcome. Good evening, everyone. Shalom. First of all, of course, I would like to dedicate or maybe even just say our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Israel. More than 200 rockets since this morning to Tel Aviv, to the south, to the center of Israel. And we're there. I especially feel it first time in the States. Well, something like this takes place in Israel. And many people there I know are watching us now there in the shelters, and we're with you. This week's portion is Parashat Vayera. Wait a minute, I spoke about the people in Israel, but I should also thank and greet the president of this place, of YU, Rav Ari Berman. Of course, Stephanie Strauss from Israel helps a lot, coordinating everything. The great Michal Hass, which is here with us today, of course, taking care of everything behind the scenes, including the great pizzas. You can't smell it at home, but there are great pizzas here. I'd also like to thank Dr. Stu Halperin, Jakob Taubes, and Johnny and Ari taking care of all the technical things here. Is it working? Baruch Hashem. Thank you very much for that weekly miracle. So Parashat Vayera, basically, we continue Avraham's journey, okay? His outlook is expressed, you know, and takes hold in the world. And it's a fascinating parasha. Usually, the commentators will talk about one of the other issues. For example, typically, we'll talk about Sodom, the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, and how Avraham argues, you know, mamash negotiating with Hashem. Maybe we will find 50 righteous people there, 50 tzadikim. Some other commentators will usually, I think, talk, all the lectures, all the shiurim, will talk about Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak, the moral questions. Of course, also the story of Hagar and Ishmael sent away from Abraham's tent to the desert, the relationship between Israel and Ishmael. We still hear about it today on the news. So basically, there are a lot of, I would say, essential questions, essential issues to discuss. Today, we will not ask these really deep questions. Instead, we will talk about two, I would say, little stories that in general, I think we learn a lot about them in kindergarten. During these years, I was in the kindergarten of my daughter, Yehudit, today. She was 5 years old today, yeah, Mazal Tov, Baruch Hashem. And it was the first time for me to come to a birthday in the States. It was special. I knew I will make mistakes, and I did, Baruch Hashem. Every time I try to do something here as a foreigner, it comes out very, I don't know, in a creative way. But it was a very nice and exciting birthday party. So basically, what you see there on the walls, you know, the pictures, what the kids are drawing, painting, it's always, when it comes to our parasha, it's always, I would say, two stories, but these are not childish stories. It's very deep. These stories are very deep, but usually we tell it to the kids. It's better than talking with, you know, with them about the Akedah. So we tell these stories to the kids, and we continue as adults, mature people, to discuss other issues in the parasha. So today we will go back together, going back to kindergarten, and that's what we're doing today. And we will discuss two, like, really naive, innocent stories. The story about Avraham's chesed, that we'll start with that story. And then, I would say the birth of Yitzchak, how two old people suddenly became parents. You know how kids describe it when they're young. So basically, and I saw it all during the kindergarten, also in Israel. I mean, that's the Gananot, the Moras, they like these two stories. But I think, once again, we as adults should return and see what's going on there and why is it so important for the Torah to elaborate, to specifically, I would say, talk and describe the details in these two stories. So we will start with the first story. I think the right headline would be Chesed, also known as kindness here in the States. Rabbi Shlomo Wolbe defined this story as Shulchan Aruch Shel Chesed, Shulchan Aruch of kindness. Just like Shulchan Aruch teaches us what to do and exactly, you know, specific orders, that's where you learn the halachot of Chesed. So let's read and see what can it say to us right here, right now. וירא אליו השם באלוני ממרא, השם appeared to him by the plains of ממרא, והוא, אברהם, and he was sitting at the entrance of the tent as the day grew hot. והוא יושב פתח האוהל כחום היום. Now the previous parasha ended with the circumcision of Avraham Avinu. So Hashem really comes like to visit him, you know. Rashi explains why vayera elav, the Hashem appeared to him to visit the sick, levaker et hachole. And why was he sitting petach haoel? Lirot im yesh over vashav vayachnisem beveito. To see whether there were any passers-by whom he would bring into his house. So this is the picture. Avraham is weak, sick, you know, and is in the middle of a conversation with Hashem, extreme closeness, and like a spiritual, I would say, a moment. But despite the heat, he wants to sit, you know, at the entrance of his tent in order to watch if any passers-by who might, you know, need something if they pass there. And that's, I would say, we just get to know Avraham. Last parasha was only the first time we, like, that's the encounter. That's how we start learning what's the attitude, what culture he brings to this world. And I think when I read it, I'm reminded of Harav Yaakov Edelstein, of blessed memory, a tzaddik from Israel. Me and my husband, we wrote a book about him, his legacy, Sulam Yaakov, it's called in Ivrit. It is translated now into English, Bezrat Hashem. It will be available on Hanukkah. We're working very hard now. That was the translation with Art Scroll. That's the, we're working with them, but the English version. By the way, we're still looking for a name. If anyone has any ideas, okay, in Hebrew, we called it Sulam Yaakov. We're looking for a name. It explains how to be, I would say, a better person. He talks a lot about his legacy. He was our Rav in Eretz Israel. But I'm reminded when I read these psukim about Avraham, he had this beautiful sentence he used to say. Someone knocked on his door, really, really in a late hour of the night, very late. And he heard the Rav saying to the people in the house, they told him, don't open, it's late, it's too late, you should go to sleep, it's not the right time. Who knows who is it? And he said, open, maybe someone needs something. Tiftechu, ulai mishu tzarich mashu. What a wonderful sentence. Maybe someone needs something. That's the attitude. That's Avraham's tent. That was Rav Edelstein's house. And I think throughout the parasha, we read about Avraham's mesirut nefesh when it comes to the akedah. It's one moment of self-sacrifice, I would say. But here, that's not an extraordinary moment. That's the daily routine. And these are all also moments of sacrifice. These are also moments of hineni. What Abraham says when he's asked to take Yitzchak, his son, he says, hineni, right here, I am, I'm ready. But he's also saying hineni when he opens his tent and he looks for guests, actively looking to how to host other people. And if we continue, we see that he lifted his eyes. That's a very important pasuk here. Vayisa enav, you should look up. You should raise your eyes, lift your eyes and see people. And then he sees these three people and he runs, okay? Vayaratz likratam. And he started running from the entrance of the tent to greet them. Vayaratz likratam, I think Rabbi Ovadia Sforno explains it beautifully. It's a test. We could all check ourselves. If you really, like he says it in Ivrit, hazrizut ledavar yore al chashivuto be'enei hamizdarez elav. If you want to check, if you're really interested in something, if you're really into it, check your zrizut. Check how speedily, how fast you do it. When a person is observed to perform any task with speed, with this reflects that he considered what he is about to do as important. Avraham sees it as the most urgent mission, okay? It's our attitude, you know, how much enthusiasm we express. We can have a mission, most of the missions I get, okay, I have to do it, I'll do it. Or you can choose a different attitude. Yeah, that's the most important thing I have. And what is the most important thing Avraham has? Of course, the other, Hazulat. Okay, his fellow person on this globe. This is the main headline. That's the main focus. So he's running. That's one thing, detail, important detail. But he is also, Vaisa enav vayar. He looked up, he raised his head, his eyes, and he saw the what's going on, the environment, what's going on around him. Today, I think once again, it's a test. It's like for our humanity. Will we see someone in need if he just passes, you know, by? I once heard fascinating speech from Noam Bardin, the CEO of Waze. You all know Waze company, right? An Israeli company. I'm bragging like I invented everything there, but yeah, it's an Israeli company. Started in Yerushalayim and Baruch Hashem conquered the world. So Noam Bardin, now living in Silicon Valley, he came to Yerushalayim to talk to students. And he said that the main thing you should do today in order to have a successful app, if you want to develop a successful application, is to make it as humane as you can. It should be, he said, the secret of Waze is, it's, he said, it's much better than Google Maps because it's more personal. Think of Waze. Imagine Google Maps, just like, not so, it's not my, it's my thing. It's a technical device. Think of Waze. It smiles to you, right? This car, this vehicle, it smiles. No car smiles at me. It smiles and it's nice and it calls you and it's like, it's with you. He said, if you want to build a successful, develop a successful app, it must be like a friend, like a human being. You should treat it as a human being. I was listening to him thinking, okay, maybe there's an equation here. The more you treat apps as people, the less you treat people as people, right? Because I do not have, it's limited, the amount of energy I have. I give it to my phone. I do not have time and energy left to people. And I saw this beautiful picture, a cartoon by Yoni Salmon from Israel. Look at this. The Mashiach arrives, okay, on a white donkey. He's there. But nobody pays attention. Nobody notices because everyone is looking at their cell phones. Think, once again, Abraham tells us, maybe they're all reading like push notifications, the Mashiach is here. So they're like concentrated in the phone. But basically, you see Abraham, he raises his eyes and he sees the other. And that's once again a secret. He's giving this gift, these skills to us. Now he says to these guests something that once again is deeper than 4 or 5 year old kids. And he said, my lords, Adonai, im namatzati chen be'enecha, if it pleases you, do not go on past your servant. Al natavor me'al avdecha. Some commentators explain he's saying it to the guests, Adonai, plurals in Lishon, Adon, people, my people, don't go, don't pass, stay with me. Some explain he says this, he said it to Hashem. It's like putting Hashem on hold. Wait a minute, don't go. I must take care of them because there are people here, hungry, thirsty. I can continue this spiritual experience. I must stop, take care of them, and I'll come back, wait here. But I think the third way of looking at this pasuk, Al ta'avor, im namatzati chen be'enecha, al nata'avor me'al avdecha. God comes to visit Abraham because he is sick, because he needs this visit right now. Basically, he doesn't only come to visit him, he teaches him he reveals his character traits to Abraham. And what is he teaching Abraham? That he, the Almighty, he can do everything and be everywhere. He comes to this small person with his small, weakness he feels, and he comes to him. Basically, he shows him the mechanism that Abraham, I would say, internalized, and he demonstrates, he shows us, I learned the lesson. I understand this format you taught me. I mean, you come to me, that's how you act. I should learn from you. That's basically this chesed you've made with me. I should do this chesed with others, to others. I mean, I'm learning what you, that's the lesson. Now I will show you, I will illustrate, you know, how I will go and do what you have done to me. I will do it to other people. Now, he does not separate from God. When he's doing it, he becomes more attached. I would say, to the godly ideal of chesed, okay? Now let's read this pasuk again. Im na matzati chen be'enecha, al na ta'avor me'al avdecha. I am leaving you in order to do what you want me to do. Now think about it. Abraham is now about to sweep the floor, to wash dishes, to prepare meat, and to serve food, okay? It's not so spiritual. His prayer is, I want to be connected, to feel holiness while I'm doing these physical activities, these simple deeds. I think every one of us could use this tefillah, this prayer, okay? Al na ta'avor me'al avdecha. When I leave big things and do into little things, okay, I want to feel that Hashem is with me, although these things are technical, they're not so important. Of course, it's not me saying this. Just one example of a Hasidic commentator, of Menachem Nachum from Chernobyl, the Ma'or Enaim. In his book, Ma'or Enaim, he wrote about this as follows. He said, Therefore, Abraham requested, do not pass by. Abraham said, Al tavor, because blessed God's glory is there also. Okay, with the dishes, with everything you do. And there too, may I not be divided from my attachment to you. Because blessed God is there too, as he is here. And understand this, vehaven. That's always something when they tell us vehaven at the end of the explanation, it means let's stop for a minute and really try to understand how deep it is. I think for all of us, doing big and small things, that's quite a prayer we could use. But then one other, it's complicated. It's not so simple. Okay, so do chesed, be open, bring everybody, are invited, they're all invited into your tent, everyone's invited, and they all can come and do whatever they want, and there are no limits, no borders. I'm Avraham Avinu, I'm the person of chesed. Avraham ish chesed, right? No. Once again, it's complicated. Yukachna me'at maim, v'rachatzu raglechem, v'yishanu tachat ha'etz. Please let a little water be taken, okay? And bathe your feet and recline under the tree. Rashi says, why should they wash their feet before they come in? Kasavur shehem aravim, he thought they were Arabs, who worship the dust of their feet. Shemishtachavim la'avak raglehem. Ve'ikpid shelo lehachnis avodah zara leveito. And he was particular not to have the object of, you know, idol worship brought into his house. Idolatrous worship cannot enter the tent of Avraham Avinu. Once again, to find the right balance. Where on the one hand, drawing people near you, calling them, come with open heart, open tent. On the other hand, keeping distance from them. Avraham has this ability, and we have this ability as Avraham's sons to attract those who are far, far away, to bring these people, okay, they're cut off, to call them, to make them call upon the name of God, but also to separate from them when it's needed, when it's necessary, to establish a very clear borders here, okay? I'm not confused. idol worship is, you know, even dust can't be part of Avraham's house. So that's part of the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Kindness has limits, okay? But then, once again, he asked them to eat with him, okay? Va'ikhafat lechem v'sa'adu libchem. I want you to eat a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and only then will you go. And they agree. They say, okay, do as you have said. And many commentators here say, who's doing a favor for whom? I think this is the question that will accompany us, you know, in this discussion. Who's doing a favor to whom? Is it more important to them to come in, or is it more important to him to invite them and take care of them? Because look at the guiding words here, the keywords here, when everything is described, you know, what this event. Vayamaher, let's count the words. Vayamaher, yes, he hurries up into the tent. Vayamaher el ha'oela el sara. Vayomer mahari, he also tells her, fast, mahari, quick. Shalosh se'im kemach, solet, lushi, v'asiugot. Okay, Ve'el Bakar, he also brings, he runs to the herd, and he took a calf, tender and choice, and gave it to the servant boy. Once again, he is doing it, I would say, he's doing it quickly, and Sarah, and then the boy, this is Ishmael, also fast in order to prepare it. And then he is the who omed alehem. He waited on them under the tree as they ate. I mean, Avraham basically hastened. Avraham is like he's dancing with the food, okay, and the dishes that he's preparing for them. I would call it that's a revolution. I mean, that's a revolution. He's so happy they came. It's like a businessman who signed a contract. It's like someone who has a store and there are so many customers on the first day. That's his store, store of chesed. That's his business, the business of chesed. It makes him, I mean, the guests may be happy, but he's much, much happier. More than they need kindness, he needs to do kindness. And Rabbi Yerucham Leibovich of Mir, Mir Yeshiva, says this is exactly what Avraham, I would say that's his state of mind, and this is our state of mind. It's a revolution, world revolution. Avraham's hospitality presents a whole world revolution in the field of kindness. When Avraham gives something to someone, he actually accepts it, okay? He enjoys giving to others. I am not the beneficiary of the other, but really the other is my benefactor. Thank you for allowing me to do what I was. That's why I was created, in order to host you, in order to do good things, to help others. That's not the only chesed that is done here. Some creative chesed is done in the next pasuk. Okay, so they're eating. He stopped talking to God. He called them in. They're eating. They tell him. They said to him, "Ayes Sarah ishtecha? Where is your wife Sarah?" Vayomer ine ba'oel. And he replied, "There in the tent." Why is it so important to ask where she is? I think, and once again, you as a guest can do chesed with the person that is hosting you. There are a lot of interesting questions. Why are people asking Eifo, Ayeh? Hashem asked the Adam Rishon, Ayeka. Then he asked Kain, "Where are you?" There are a lot of explanations. Why are people, they're not really, you know, curious, where is she? They know where she is. They're angels. It's not so important. They just want to remind Avraham of her and to remind her how deep he loves her and connected to her. Look at what Rashi says. Yod'im ayu. They knew where Sarah is. Come on. They knew indeed where she was. But lehodia shetznu'a hayta kedei lechabeva al ba'ala. They asked this question in order to call attention to her modesty and so to endear her all the more to her husband. Rabbi Shlomo Volbe asks something. Wait a minute. Avraham is 99 years old. Our sages tell us he married Sarai at the age of 25. It means this couple is married more than 70 years. You really need to flatter. You really need this. Oh, I want to remind you of your beautiful wife. She's so precious to you. She's so tznua. The wedding is over. The first year is over. The first decade is over. They're so old. Why is it important? It is. You can do chesed by coming to the husband, talking about his wife, or vice versa. The bride and the groom, you can always, always see it as a mission of chesed, no matter how old they are, okay? To make them feel more love, more affection, more connected to each other. That's another type of chesed we see here. And then we see, at the end of this chesed journey, the angels, the guests declare, say a very meaningful sentence, okay? V'yomer shov ashuv elecha ka'et chaya, I will return here next year, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. V'hineh ben l'sara ishtecha. Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Basically, that's how it ends, this story. Now, they bring him the news and about the expected birth of Yitzchak. And I would say kindness brings new life. Chesed brings life. Mevi chayim. I mean, if only he would not have left the divine presence and turned toward them. I don't know. I mean, they would have passed by his tent. Something happened to him, okay? They delivered this promise to him after he did something to them. So once again, kindness brings new life. And Professor Nechama Leibovich, when she read these psukim every year, she used to say, this is I would say this hospitality is like embedded in Jewish DNA, okay? She quoted a beautiful pasuk from Sefer Iyov, and she said how much these verses, what we just read, influenced our ancestors. All of us are influenced, you know, because we hear it since we're 2 or 3 years old, but it's more than just hearing the story. It's really our story, okay? In all the years of exile, okay, how much these verses influenced our ancestors to the point where a poor Jew had no desire to sit down at his table on Friday night if there was not a guest in his home, okay? Even the poorest of Jewish communities in the most faraway towns could say something that glorious capital cities up until today could never say. And then she quoted the pasuk of Yov, "Bechutz lo yalin ger, no stranger will sleep ever, spend the night outside in the open. Dlatai la'oreach eftach, I opened my doors to the road. I opened my doors for the guests. And in the last, over the last three months, we are here in the States, and we have been privileged to enjoy your achnasat orchim, your hospitality in so many places. This Shabbat in New Rochelle, Montreal, Maryland, Silver Spring, and New Jersey, Baruch Hashem everywhere, and we still have a lot of Shabbatot planned. Since we moved here as Shlichim, the World Mizrahi Movement sent us here, we see every week this hospitality. It's an opportunity to thank all these families, all these communities for the spirit of Avraham Avinu. But before I came here, someone texted me something he wrote. He wrote it in the shelter in the city of Sderot. His name is Liron Tzedakah. He's a teacher and a father from the city of Sderot. And he told me, he had no idea I'm on my way here, talking about Chesed. And I don't know if he had the time to read the parasha this week. But he told me what he feels today. So many people inviting him, his family, his city. So many people in Israel care about them, inviting them to come, to rest, hotels, restaurants, museums, certain places, yeshivot, davening for them, everything, buses, everything like is planned and today in Israel in order to help these people. And he told me, I know Avraham Avinu is proud of us. I know he sees us, how we continue this, I would say, test of chesed. And that's the first part of the parasha. I think we usually don't pay attention to it as adults. But the second part, it's even more hidden. I mean, you don't see it when you just read the parsha. You have to look, you know, deeply. I think laughter, tzchok, that's a main issue in our parasha. So let's continue to this second subject, between the lines, I would say. Because after we saw kindness brings life, chesed mevi chaim, in order to make chesed bring life, you need certain belief. You need a certain type of laughter. And until today, by the way, the word tzchok, we still use it. It's beautiful. The word chesed, the ancient word, 1,000 years ago, people said chesed. We still mean it today in Israel, chesed. And tzchok, I think tzchok is not so matzchik. Tzchok is not so funny. It's a serious issue. It's a serious matter, as you will see in a minute. Because laughter appeared in the first time, last parsha, when Abraham heard the news, okay, he will have a son. Listen to this. Vayipol Avraham al panav, vayitzchak. And Avraham fell on his face, or threw himself on his face and laughed. Okay, Avraham tzachak in front of Hashem after Hashem told this to him. But in our parsha this week, also after Sarah hears this declaration, vatitzchak Sarah bekirba, and Sarah laughed to herself in herself within herself. With something in her laughter. Now Rashi tells us something very deep about how to differentiate, I would say, between this laughter and this laughter. Look at the explanation here. Once again, it's us laughing today, and we need to know how to laugh. Which type of laughter should we choose? So, Vayipol Avraham al panav vayitzchak, Uncle said, Leshon simcha. Okay, translate it with joy, and he rejoiced. Avraham tzachak in a good, healthy, kosher way, really rejoicing. But the similar verb, vatitzchak Sarah, it comes from a different, in English translate it as tzchok, in a meaning of like more cynical without faith. She didn't rejoice. She had no faith. Okay, and this is why God was angry with Sarah when she left, but he was not angry with Abraham when he left. Something is different. Okay, you can laugh and with belief, or you can laugh and basically, I would say, ignore, not really listening to what you just heard, saying to yourself, "No, it can't be. It's impossible. Nothing good will ever, never happen to me." And if you look at this pasuk, that's quite weird. I mean, the Torah says it. Otherwise, for me, it would look quite weird. Hashem talks. Listen to this. He quotes Sarah. "V'tekachesh Sarah le'emor lo tzachakti ki yare'a v'yomer Hashem lo ki tzachakt." What is it? Why is he wasting his time or our time? Why should I care if Sarah laughed or not? He's like, is it an investigation? Hashem told her, you laughed. He said, "No, I didn't." "No, you did." Why is it so important? Sarah did nothing. Today we count things only if something was done. Nothing was done. She didn't laugh. She didn't do ha ha ha, okay, mocking the angels, telling him, "No, I will never have a son." She didn't do it. They didn't see anything, the angels. Hashem knows she had this inner laughter. And this is dangerous. If we do not believe, okay, Hashem comes specifically to talk to us, explaining us how important it is that to cancel, to delete, to ignore this inner laughter. This is Hanan Porat. In his beautiful, I would say, book that wasn't translated into English yet, he explains these verses. And he draws our attention to this expression of, "And Sarah laughed internally." Okay, bekirba. Why internally? And that's what he says. "Her laughter was not only hidden from others, but also from herself. It had slowly sipped into her subconscious mind and was expressed in her lack of faith to become pregnant and give birth. Aside from the master of the universe, Hashem, no one knew about Sarah's laughter, and she too was not conscious of it. Therefore, in response to God's questions, 'Why did you laugh?' she answered, 'I didn't.' Why does the master of the universe insist on uncovering Sarah's dark secret? Because as long as Sarah's laughter will not ascend from her subconsciousness into her conscious mind, this lack of faith laughter will continue to sip into the depth of her soul without her being able to deal with it openly and remove it at the root. And lack of faith does not only have influence in the spiritual realm, but in the realm of action too. The master of the universe, Hashem, has to do flips around Sarah in order for her to deal with her emotional and spiritual blockage on the subject of her fertility. We see that this is true with the individual who fight along, as well as with a nation at war with its enemies. Do we hear this? Do we have this inner laughter? Do we, as Israelis, say to ourselves, 'Oh, we can never beat Hamas, Jihad, Islamic Jihad. Oh, these enemies for Gaza. Ah, we can't do anything. No. We're doomed to have them. We can never beat them. No, we can never do it.'" Okay? So as individuals and as a nation, okay, what is our internal faith? This new higher level of consciousness will change the character of Sarah's laughter from that of mockery and faithlessness to that of faith, joy, and gratitude. Because in a minute, as we will see, she will laugh a completely, completely different voice, completely different laughter. In a minute, we'll see it. But then, their son, that's Hanan Porat, then their son, Baruch Hashem, is born, Yitzchak. And they give him a name that in a way deletes and fixes, it corrects everything that was wrong. Now, they give him the right way, Yitzchak, meaning in the future, in the future, he will laugh, okay? And they call him, I think Rashi, in his explanation of the name, brings together two interpretations that in fact complement each other. Because Yitzchak is al shem atzchok, with reference to laughter, but it's also with reference to 10 trials, yud, the letter yud, 10, Tzadik. Tzadik Shana, 90 years of Sarah's age. That's how old she was. Chet, 8 days of the circumcision. And Kuf, 100 years of Abraham's age. Yitzchak, this creates together Yitzchak. So we take the tzchok, the joy, but we also take all the obstacles, all the trials, all the hardship, advanced age, circumcision, everything they've been through, we take it together and we laugh. Okay, at the end of the day, when Yitzchak is born, we have this truly joyful moment together when he's born. And that's when Sarah says, Kol tzchok asali Elokim. That's why she calls him Yitzchak. Tzchok asali Elokim, kol hashomea Yitzchak li. God has made joy for me. Whoever hears will rejoice with me. Rashi says so many barren women were remembered with her. Many sick people were healed on that very day. Many prayers were answered with her. And there was much joy in the world. That's how Rashi describes the day when Yitzchak was born. It's our test, okay? Which kind of laughter, which kind of tzchok do we choose? And I want to show you just a few examples. This is Moshe Yeret. He's a bus driver. He has a popular blog in Israel. We quote him a lot. And me, my husband Yedidia, we have a weekly radio show together. We quote a lot of his beautiful stories as a bus driver in the center of Israel. But this story is quite sad. A few weeks ago, he saw a mother and a young girl, like 7 years old, and they didn't pay for the Rav-Kav, the prepaid card. You know what Rav-Kav is, I guess, in Israel? So they didn't have enough money there. So he told them, you can pay a lot now, right here, right now, cash to me here on the bus, but I can take you to the next station. You'll go by the Rav-Kav, there's a station there, and come back, and it will be much cheaper for you too. So the mother said, Toda rabba lecha be'emet, which means in Hebrew, thank you, really, thank you very much. Toda rabba lecha be'emet. Then he hears the young girl asking her the mother, Mommy, what did the driver do wrong that you spoke with him like this? And the mother said, what do you mean? And the girl said, you just tell him, Toda rabba be'emet. You say it when someone did something wrong. Now stop for a minute and think about the message this girl gets from us, the grown-up, the adults. I mean, she really thinks whenever someone says, Toda rabba lecha be'emet, it means in a cynical way, not in the right way, okay? I check it, since I heard this story, I check it every night with my kids. It's true. Usually when I tell my kids, No be'emet, toda rabba lecha, what do I mean? Here, American people, when you tell, oh, thank you very much, really, thank you, thanks a lot. You don't really mean it, okay? That's horrible. He wrote this post, and I was shocked. I quoted a lot. I think we can all check. I mean, it means, once again, which laughter, which kind of, which attitude, which approach you choose, you know? And once again, today, in nowadays, with the new media world, I think it's harder to express real joy. Look at these emojis. I just pick, I mean, there are hundreds, thousands of them. What does it mean when somebody sends this to me? Or he chooses this one. I never understand. Do you mean it's good, you really laugh, you laugh with me, you laugh at me, we're laughing together at him? I mean, what's the... I write things, really. I see it on WhatsApp group. We work a lot in Israel with WhatsApp groups of the newsroom. You know, I'm a journalist of the newsroom. Somebody writes something. Someone will bring up an idea, okay? And then someone else will respond with a smiley. And I would like... People are private, you know, they will PM me. What does he mean? It's good or bad? I mean, and they will, you know, send me the screen and that, what is him, is he, does he want it? He doesn't want me to do it. The face, is he laughing? What's going on here? I think it's a struggle today between different types of laughter. And today, you know, when I woke up this morning, I woke up in a very strange way. Usually I know every day when I wake up here, it's like the middle of the day in Israel. When I go to sleep around midnight, it's already 7. So people start their day. And then I turn on everything and go to sleep. Every day when I wake up, don't be shocked. But there are 200 WhatsApp messages. Usually that's approximately, that's the number that is waiting. Sorry, I work a lot with the Israeli media, 200 messages. You wake up at 6:30, I should wake up the kids, take care of everything, they should be on time. You know, the yellow buses here, they don't wait. In Israel, I can text the driver, you know, Danny, wait a minute, he's like, no, they don't wait here. So basically, I wake up 6:30, 200 WhatsApp messages. And it's before I start checking them, emails and everything. So, but today, it was very weird. Everything I saw was jokes, Israeli jokes. So I asked, I went to sleep before the mess, the balagan started in the south. So I had no idea what was going on. And suddenly I see, look at this. This is the first joke. I wake up, I see it, 50 different groups, 50 different people send it to other people. Le'or ha'matzav le'mechira, according to what's going on in Israel, the situation in the south, for sale, 3 sandwiches for school, because nobody went to school there today. They canceled last minute. They canceled everything, so kids stayed home. 1 omelet, 2 chocolate sandwiches, as new, great condition. Okay, so you can buy 3 sandwiches. I'm like, what do they want? 1 second later, I see this joke. If already there's no school, we don't send the kids to school, and it's Tuesday. Usually you have elections on Tuesday. So why won't you go and vote? Why won't we all go and vote again? Let's have elections today. If we're already at home, okay? It's your sense of humor is good if you understand the Israeli jokes. I mean, it means you're atem ba'inyanim. So basically, I woke up saying, what's wrong with my family? Why are they sending all these jokes? And only then I heard the news. Today, you sometimes read the jokes, you know, about current events, about what's going on, before you really know what happened, okay? So then I realized what happened. And then I said to myself, wait a minute, I want to talk today about 2 issues. Chesed, we already showed how chesed we see is expressed today in Israel, and smiles, laughter, smiling at people, laughing at things, tzchok. And now the first thing Israelis do when the situation becomes hard is chesed, and tzchok, laughing at the situation is healthy, it's good. It means we have the right balance. We're not depressed, we are not sitting, you know, in shelters crying. We send jokes to each other. It means a lot, I think, about the essence of this nation. And our commentators tell us, if we look at the Middle East today, if you listen today to Fox or CNN, nobody will tell you, as a commentator, that the problem is there are 2 types of laughter here, and that's a struggle. Nobody will tell you. But maybe, that's the right way to explain what's going on today and every day in the world and in the Middle East, but especially today in our beloved country. The true joy of tzaddikim, that's Rav Shlomo Kook, son of Rav Kook's nephew, the Rav Kook, also the grandfather of my husband Yedidia, Harav Shlomo Kook. He explains beautifully that there is a struggle here. You should know the true joy of tzaddikim and all-hearted people repairs the phony laughter of the wicked. Look at the people laughing in Gaza Strip. That's a different type of tzok. The world longs, okay, for laughter that is appropriate and authentic. Frivolity leads to denigration of everything that's holy. Usually, they can laugh at everything. Holiness of faith, holiness of life, holiness of family. Laughter of the wicked is an attempt to justify and transform their corrupt deeds into something pure. Israel, the Israeli nation, he doesn't talk about the Israeli state, but Israel must quiet the wild laughter of Ishmael, a reckless laughter that destroys the foundation of the universe, okay? Terror destroys the foundation of the universe. Israel must accustom humanity to the laughter of those with faith, the truly pure ones, and then we will marry to see the day about which it is said, Azimale tzchok pinu ulshonenu rina. Then our mouth will be filled with laughter and our tongue with songs of joy, because Hashem has done great things for us. Igdil Hashem la'asot imanu. Therefore, we were joyful. Hainu semechim. That's our goal. That's our mission. And yeah, sometimes it's funny to look at the Jewish dreams. Okay, it's funny to see someone, old folks, you know, she's 20, he's 10, they would start a nation. Yes, this nation will survive thousands of years. Yes, it's possible. We continue to fill our mouth with laughter and pray and continue to work hard in order to be there at the end of time, Be'ezrat Hashem. So just to summarize this journey, Abraham basically implants within us two qualities, the desire to practice constant kindness, chesed, and the ability to, I would say, enjoy our own laughter and the laughter we bring to other, pure, based on faith, you know, despite all the challenges that we face. Perhaps, by the way, there is a connection here. When you practice kindness, you're not at the center of attention, and you can easily find a place for healthy tzchok. Okay, you see, tzaddikim, they are not full of themselves, so they have this sense of humor, good cheer. They don't just take themselves all that seriously. Maybe there's a connection here. Thank you very much, Be'ezrat Hashem. Shabbat Shalom. Afshar lagid miyom shlishi. Shabbat Shalom, and see you, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week here Tuesday night. You're more than invited. Parashat Chayei Sara. Toda rabba. Thank you. Thank you. And that's the way. If you want to follow and be a part of to subscribe and get all the information. This Shabbat we're in Lawrence. You're invited. Motzei Shabbat Brooklyn. So if you want to really get all the information about lectures, that's how you do it. Thank you once again, Johnny. All right, thank you very much. Toda rabba.